And joining us, as he usually does on this show, is Bernie Kosar, the quarterback. Bernie, let's start with what the Browns did at the end of last week in adding two more players via free agency, tight end Kellen Davis and defensive back Chris Owens. Davis, of course, had been with the Chicago Bears. Owens, an Atlanta Falcon. So when we go down the list right now, it's two tight ends, Gary Barnidge being the other one who had been with Carolina, one corner, couple of linebackers, and a defensive lineman. What do you think of the shopping so far?
Well, you know, I know a lot of times at this time of the year, a lot of fans and people want to see big name, big name, big name after big name. I like, you know, going from a 4-3 to a 3-4 and Ray Horton coming in as a defensive coordinator, knowing we need different types of especially pass rush outside linebackers. I like the moves at the very beginning of free agents, but then I really caution all fans to not be so dismissive of some of the other parts that you need to sometimes you do need to fill in on your team, as opposed to sometimes people wanting, and actually probably too much of the time wanting, big name, big name after big name. Those teams who go for the winning the off-season war, the springtime war, although with all the snow today, it still may be winter.
Yeah.
They never have been a top-tier team in the league. So I actually think it's been a very sound, fundamental process that Mr. Haslam laid out at the owners' meeting last week to lay the foundation for continued success.
Yeah, I think so, too. And when we look at what's been done, obviously everybody gets excited, more excited about thinking offense than defense, even though this has been the clear push. Defense has been the clear focus of this offseason, and the right one to make this 3-4 defense effective and all those parts. You got to have the pass rush, you got to have the people up front. But I, you know, it's worth getting into here that there are two tight ends now on this team. And when we think about if there's any message being sent offensively, Rob Chudzinski, the former college tight end, Norv Turner, the offensive coordinator who's made outstanding use of tight ends going back to a Jay Novacek in Dallas and then an Antonio Gates in San Diego, just to mention a couple, that position I think is going to be a prominent part of what this defense, what this team, this offense does.
Yeah, I'm sorry for, like, being so self-reflective, but when you mentioned Jay Novacek, I couldn't help but think he was the guy who caught my first touchdown pass in Dallas.
That's why I mentioned it.
Okay, so, but if I was focused, I would be, you're right. Look at Chud. Chud's an old tight end. We come from the Howard Schnellenberger, Coach Shula type of offense that is truly believes and uses the tight end. Norv Turner, the Ernie Zampezi, Air Coryell type system that was Kellen Winslow Sr. absolutely loves the tight end in a different way. And the blend of those two has turned out to be a phenomenal success for the tight ends that get the tutelage under Chud and Coach Norv. So there's no doubt the addition of these tight ends, bluntly and trustingly like I am, those guys have been phenomenally successful with the tight end and use of the tight end. So I give them the benefit of the doubt, not knowing the young, not say name guys that have been added. And I think it's a positive thing because the tight end, being a guy who comes from the old school of offense, you definitely need to be using him. And for sure, you could see the last couple of years the importance of the tight end position and how dominant that position needs to be for you to have a consistent offense.
Bernie, break that down for us. Why does it become so vital, especially when you look at what this offense might have at quarterback? And we're going to go with the discussion here that it is Brandon Whedon once again, that was not a position he worked with in college, one that he was getting used to as a pro last year, working with Ben Watson, working with Jordan Cameron, but especially it was Watson who was the difference, as much a difference maker as anybody they had on offense. And that's not saying a lot, but he did, caught those two touchdown passes against Dallas. I mean, better moments, involved tight ends. What do you see as why this position, if it works out the way they hope it would, what does it do to the offense?
Okay, let me break it down even more simplistically than that. The game of football is meant to be physical. And these big now, God's starting to create 6'4", 5'6", 6'6", 250, 60, 70 pound tight ends that run 4.5s and 4.6s. It's the most beautiful thing in the world for an old quarterback to watch. The game is physical. And you put those guys up there in the middle of the field, going down the seams with the way the rules are, where they could run in and make contact with little defensive backs, safeties that are 3, 4, 5, 6 inches smaller than them, 30, 40, 50 pounds lighter than them, and they run the same speed. It's a complete physical mismatch. And when you're able to be physical, which the game of football is meant to be, and I can't stand having five little skinny receivers running around the field like a 7-on-7 game, and when you take that and put a dominant presence in the middle of the field, it opens up the whole field for a couple of the fast guys on the outside.
Yeah, that seems to be, again, what we see throughout this league and what we could certainly start seeing from the Browns. And Kellen Winslow Jr., you mentioned him, and, of course, he had success with Rob Chudzinski back here in 2007. He's out there. He's a free agent. He mentioned the Browns. He was on NFL Network and mentioned the Browns, Panthers, Raiders as teams that would have interest in him.
Well, I know that Kellen Winslow Jr.'s time through playing, whether it's college or the pros, is sometimes controversial. Being biased because of being an ex-Hurricane and the family that we have with the Canes, I'm probably not the most objective guy. I really like a guy who's very opinionated in terms of his convictions towards wanting to win. Now, sometimes that leads to other things, but his will to win, his competitiveness, his aggressiveness, I really like. Now, how his athleticism is right now and how his knees and some of the issues are, bluntly, I don't know. But being that Chud was a tight end and our careers have all been crossed and interconnected together, that's something that probably you'd like to explore. I'd like to have talked to him beforehand, because as you know, Vic, as good as anybody, sometimes in the league, it's better not to be on promoting certain situations until they're done.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's a good point, but that's what happens, like you said, when you're out there and outspoken. Bernie Kosar joining us in his regular spot via the Revel Wireless Hotline right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Baltimore Ravens, Elvis Dumervil joins them soon after they lose the iconic Ed Reed, who goes to the Houston Texans. And, you know, when you paint this picture of a Ravens team minus Reed, minus Ray Lewis, minus Paul Kruger, of course, who is now a Cleveland Brown, and go minus, minus, minus the other players, Anquan Boldin, who are not on that team. But then you look at what they've added. And, you know, I had this discussion with John Harbaugh, the head coach of the Ravens, last week in Arizona at the league meetings. And he said, look, you can't present to your team that we're the same, because we're not. He says it's a very different thing, and you don't try to say that you just stick with the same program. At the same time, it sounded like he was confident that whatever this team looks like going forward, it would still be one that could contend. And you could make the argument now that Elvis Dumervil certainly picks up a lot of that defensive slack that's gone. They've added Chris Canty, Marcus Spears, and it prompted, motivated Arthur Jones, one of their defensive linemen, to tell the Baltimore Sun, he said, it's like a dream team in the making. Is that overstating it a little bit for the Ravens?
Well, I like the confidence of the players. That's for sure. Look, the salary cap went only up less than 2.5% this year. I think it's $123 million. Mm-hmm. Baltimore was over the cap last year, and last year's salary had him over the cap this year without Ray Lewis and without Joe Flacco being signed. It's not an easy process when you have a lot of veteran stars and young stars, and then your Super Bowl winning team, that people want their contracts, and there's sometimes not a lot of give and take with people and agents and family and friends and egos and things of that nature when money's concerned. Ozzie absolutely doesn't like making some of these moves. But if you want to consistently be a top-tier team, sometimes you have to make these hard decisions. And being able to make the best of them, look, they're going to get quite a few compensatory picks because of the loss of free agents. The guys were younger or were old and older, and who knows how much time they have left, and can they play a full 16-game schedule and then still be ready to go when the playoffs start? Ray Lewis missing the majority of last year probably was a huge benefit for him and the team because he was fresh when he came back. And when you lose some guys like that, to come back and with Nada, who will be healthy, and then basically get or re-sign three other defensive linemen to control the line of scrimmage from the defensive front and put pressure on the quarterback to help protect younger linebackers, I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, I do too. It really is a methodical approach. And not that we doubted, we've talked about this all along, that Ozzie Newsome would find ways to patch or repair or whatever he had to do. It's still a big job, and I'm not convinced that this Ravens team could be as strong as it was, and there would be those who argued that it really wasn't all that strong last year, but got stronger at the right time, and guys like Paul Kruger playing, you know, his best football for them in the postseason, and he had a really strong regular season as well to make the difference. So, yeah, this will be an interesting dynamic to see how it plays out in this division and all that was invested in Joe Flacco, how much that's going to pay off too.
Well, Vic, I concur completely, and I'm not trying to represent that they're the greatest team that's played, nor do I think they're the Super Bowl team of next year. But I think he's done a phenomenal job consistently doing the best and making the best of tough situations. And again, are they better than last year? The time will tell. Probably not. But man, I'm really impressed. I think he's made the complete best situation out of something that was incredibly challenging.
Yep. Let's talk quarterbacks, your favorite topic. And coming up on Wednesday, Matt Barkley, the USC quarterback, has his pro day, finally gets a chance to postseason throw for NFL scouts. He didn't do so at the combine in February because of the shoulder injury he suffered, and now we get to see maybe what he's all about. Geno Smith certainly did plenty to up his stock, at least those who thought he had a very impressive pro day. He's going to get, you know, those individual team workouts. Teams are interested in him, including the Browns, to take a look at him privately. But Matt Barkley has a chance now maybe to do the same thing, right, Bernie, and up his stock a little bit.
Well, again, I was last week talking about Geno Smith, who's incredibly more physically gifted than Matt Barkley. You'll help your stock. I don't put a ton of stock into the workouts because, like I've said numerous times, when no one's going to run you over, when there's not the threat of death, I've had 100 quarterbacks that were all spring, all winter in front of me until when you're not allowed to be hit. Mm-hmm. When you're able to be hit, it's a whole other ball game. And I'm not trying to be funny, and I'm not trying to be a jerk on a Monday with all the snow coming down. I stated my views on Matt Barkley and that pathetic display of promotion that he did at the combines. Looking out the weather today, the snow coming down, all the wind that we had yesterday, I would want to jump on a sword before I want to see him as our quarterback in this weather.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's the thing. He's got to really show, I guess, that and he's not in at USC on a Wednesday in March. It's probably not going to be type of thing that's going to.
Thank God it's Easter week because I don't care what he shows. He ain't going to work here in Cleveland, in my opinion. So
all right.
Have a good Easter week for him, and thankfully he'll give me the week off.
All right, Bernie, great to talk with you as always, and we will catch up again next week, and have a great Easter.
Happy holidays.
All right. He is Bernie Kosar joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 40s on the Revel Wireless Hotline. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.